Salutations, and welcome to the Harlots of History podcast, where we scorch the history books and take back the word harlot one episode at a time.
This is a show for the curious listener, the raunchy feminist, the sex-positive comic, co-hosted by us, your resident amateur historians who love a side of sexy with their history.
Listen as we chat and lecture each other on infamous mistresses, lovers, sex workers, courtesans, madams, vamps, sirens, scam artists, and of course, harlots.
And we try not to get too sidetracked with rants about putrid patriarchy.
I'm Kara Mia, a mom of three.
And I'm Emily, a fur mom of three.
So go grab your pork rinds or your kale chips.
A glass of wine or a big old mug of tea. We're not judging.
We will keep you entertained while you wash your dishes, wash your feet, or wash that man right out of your hair.
This show also contains alcohol, some very colorful language, and eyebrow raise, sexual content, and is not appropriate for those under 18.
Sorry, not sorry to our children and pets.
All right, hello!
Hello, everyone. Emily and I may be half of glass in.
Half a glass in. Half a bottle, bitch. Where are you at?
Okay, well, welcome to Harlots of History. That over there with the dirty mouth is Emily.
I have to, I swear like a sailor, so it's only fitting that I am partnered to a sailor.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know. He's the only person that ever swears as much as I do. And that's Kara Mia over there. She's in a sparkly
velvet.
Top. Velvet. There you go.
It's yeah, I'm sparkly. Like, I'm like all into like earth tone ambers, but I'm also like Emily and I were just talking about quite an exhibitionist. So it needed to be velvet.
It's earth very
tone velvet is the way to go. I think jewel earth tones are my thing.
I think I'm losing feeling in my like left butt cheek.
Sorry, I switched to your right.
Well, I can't. We tried really hard to be a little bit more
focused,
but then we talked for the last hour and I drank half my bottle of sparkling rosé.
Well, because like Mom, everyone else, right?
My bottle.
It's Marianne. I want one too. Ship it out to me.
Just come to Colorado.
But we just are sure like everyone else, I'm sure like everyone else, I should say, we are really hitting a pandemic wall this week.
Oh my God.
I cannot, when I saw it, I was like, there's no way. It's like, I literally felt like I physically and mentally and emotionally hit a literal wall.
I was like, there's like a movie where he's like, and then he hit a wall and he was running and he like hit an actual wall. That's how I felt.
Right? Like, or the time, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm saying this. The one and only time that I went into Armani Exchange when I was younger, I walked into a window.
What? I didn't know
their
that.
Their windows were really clean.
I remember working at Hallmark and I saw a man walking in the window and I felt so bad for him and he was so embarrassed and I was like, are you okay, sir? And he just like looked at me and ran out. I was like,
what else can you do? That's exactly what I did.
Nothing. But yeah, I was like, I've probably done the same thing. Or like when you're a kid and you're like trying to run outside because you're so excited about the pool or.
And you slam into your like sleep screen door.
Yeah. Everyone's had that experience.
You expect the screen door to just kind of fly open. But your mom locked it, so that's it.
Then you go flying back. Like
I think one of my siblings, like they were small enough that they actually broke through the actual screen and flipped out because they couldn't stop.
They went through the screen. Did you know that I broke my nose because my cousin tried to leapfrog over me, but he was like 5 years younger than me. So I was 8 and he was like 3. And he couldn't leapfrog over someone who was like 4 times his size. And so he leapfrogged onto my head. And my head slammed onto the floor.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
My beautiful nose. I look like Owen Wilson now.
It's okay. Remember, I have a thing for Owen Wilson.
Oh, I do, too. Wait, you do?
Yeah, like a really weird thing. Like
Richard's I have a weird thing, too. I've loved Owen Wilson. I think his nose is so cute.
And something about his voice, too. Like, every time he goes, wow.
Okay, well, welcome to Highlights of History, the podcast where we don't get started talking about history for at least 3 minutes and 55 seconds.
Right. So Emily is taking a bullet this week, and she is presenting back to back. And we are in the middle of our medieval harlots month. And this month has been really illuminating to me, but also illuminating. I've like learned so much, and I realize I am like, my husband was like, if I see you open one more historical page, like, or Wikipedia page on somebody who was born 500 years ago, I'm going to scream because I think I've been ignoring him this week. So I'm like, oh, I got to see if this person's connected to that person. And I like quickly research it. And I was like, I was right. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm like literally making timelines in my head now and tracing lineages.
We
it's just
so cool. What Vulgar History Pod did and make a murder board and keep it with us.
I just like, I want my office. I want an office where I can have a I can just have like, not a murder wall, but just like a wall, like a spiderweb wall showing like the craziness.
I don't know why I haven't done that on my break from school, because now I'm starting school again and I have to like study for my test to get into nursing school and I have like no time, but like, I feel like that might be something I do when I'm procrastinating from studying for my like entrance
exam. Totally. Use that. Yeah. Use this podcast.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what, how to find X, but I know who murdered this person.
I know who was this person's ex. Oh.
I know who Anne Boleyn's ex was. Okay. But no,
so we're not. What are we learning about this week, Emily?
Okay. Well, last week we talked about the War of the Roses and the end of the medieval era. This week, I'm going to backtrack to right before the War of the Roses began. Okay, so we're going to be talking about Alice Perez, who was the mistress of Edward III, who, if you remember from last week, was the guy whose death started the War of the Roses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to begin our story with a quote from a chauvinistic, misogynistic dick, Thomas Walsingham. Walsingham.
And let me guess, did he write history in any some sort of way?
He did, but he was also like, everyone's like, this guy was an asshole. So he's pretty much.
Yeah, but like, just what's even worse is I'm sure that no one realized what an asshole he was until like 50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. At the same time, there was a woman in England called Alice Perez. She was a shameless, impudent harlot.
Woohoo!
I know.
Sorry, every time we hear that word, we get real excited.
Both of my harlots have been actual harlots. And of low birth, for she was the daughter of a thatcher from the town of Henny, elevated by fortune. She was not attractive or beautiful, but knew how to compensate for those defects with the seductiveness of her voice. Blind fortune elevated this woman to such heights and promoted her to a greater intimacy with the king than was proper, since she had been the maidservant and mistress of a man of Lombardy. And while the queen was still alive, the king loved this woman more than he loved the queen. So if you are making an angry beaver face, like I was when I first read that, and want to find out more about Alice, then you came to the right place.
But also really quick.
Yeah, I know.
If you expect there to be love in between, like, marriages that were for business / treaties / like alliances, gaining lands. Like, how do you expect there to be love? It's like, I love how that entire phrase didn't put a single ounce of the quote unquote blame on Edward.
You're correct, but actually Edward and his wife did have a really loving relationship.
Yay! We never hear about those.
Yeah. We'll get into it. I wanted to spend more time talking about his wife than I did about Alice, but she was a wife and not a harlot, so we can't talk about her. Well, we can. She's in here.
That's why you got to be a wife and a harlot, like me.
She was amazing. I love her. She was such a bad... We're going to talk about her, but okay. This is why my name today is... Philippa is my girlfriend. Cute. Philippa is Edward's wife. Okay. So as with many of our harlots, Alice is an enigma wrapped in a shroud of patriarchal misogyny. And her story begs the question, was she a deceitful siren she-devil who batted her eyes and swished her vagina in the direction of the king so she could be rained upon with jewels, power, and riches? Or was she a 16-year-old girl who was at the will of the king, whose power and 30-year age difference gave her no choice but to be at his will. Or, stay with me here, because this is a novel concept, was she both? Yeah. Is it possible that Alice was both a Madonna and a whore, a multifaceted human being whose thought and desires could have possibly reached beyond the bedroom?
I feel like Emily's been waiting her whole life to say that.
You know me and the Madonna whore. Also, I just found this like old piece of cheese from last time we recorded.
You, Emily, don't you dare eat that.
Oh, I'm not going to. It's very old. I don't even. Okay. So grab a turkey leg and a gallon of Gascon wine and settle in as we jaunt back to the 1300s England.
Very cute. Okay. I have both those things on hand.
A turkey leg?
I was being sarcastic.
Oh, I was like, you do?
Yeah, I just have turkey legs, like ready to go and gallons sure of wine.
You have like
a I'm on my three I'm liquors. On I'm on my last dregs.
Your box is almost done.
Yes. I was squeezing out the udder.
Okay. Before we get to Alice, let me give you a little background and set the stage. If you remember from our last episode, Edward III was the guy whose death started the War of the Roses. Little interesting fact about him, he became king at age 14 when his mother, Isabel of France, and her lover, Roger Mortimer, deposed his father. And is it just me, or does Roger Mortimer remind you of an old-timey villain with, like, a handlebar mustache and a penchant for tying people to train packs?
And is this Isabella? She was called the She-Wolf?
Isabella the She-Wolf. Yeah, so, and Roger Mortimer, which is, like, that guy is, like, born to be a villain. Like, was that his real name? It doesn't sound like it.
It's so funny because I literally remember, like, the minute you say that, I'm like, I went to school with a Robbie Mortimer.
Robbie Mortimer sounds fine. Robbie Mortimer sounds like Roger Mortimer's like nice son who like didn't want to be a villain like his father.
Right? He's trying to sound more casual. And yeah, he ended up being a jock.
Oh, well, that makes sense. That checks out. In 1327, did he have the handlebar mustache?
Disappointingly, no.
Oh, man. Okay. In 1327, Roger and Isabella deposed Edward II and put his son, Edward III, on the throne when he was 14. But Isabella and Roger remained as the de facto rulers. Isabella had Edward married to Philippa of Hainault, who was a daughter of a count and a French princess. They were engaged when she was 12, and they were married in 1328. They were like 15, and they were like, she was 15, he was 16, I believe, when they were married. After Edward became the king. And Philippa was not crowned queen until 2 years later because Edward's mother did not want to give up her queen regent. And so Philippa was crowned when she was 5 months pregnant. Once their son, Edward of Woodstock, was born, tensions that were already tight between Roger, the handlebar mustache guy, and Edward III increased, and Edward staged a coup against his guardian. Roger Mortimer was executed and Isabella was exiled. So Edward III became King of England, and then in 1337, he declared himself heir to the French throne, which started the Hundred Years' War.
Don't you like once we learn more and more about this, it's just like, it just all the pieces click into place?
Yeah.
Because like we're not now, we know exactly why he felt like he could claim the French throne.
Yeah.
Because his mom was like the one surviving heir. Mm-hmm. Because all the other sons of Philip IV died.
Yeah, so she was the one heir.
Yeah, Isabella was his mom, yeah.
So he claimed, so started the Hundred Years' War. And if you're thinking, hold on, did this guy start both the Hundred Years' War and the War of the Roses by dying? Then yes, you'd be correct. I mean, he didn't intentionally start the War of the Roses, he just died and it started, basically. But yeah, he did. So, Philippa and Edward had a very good marriage, and she was loved by everyone, and I love her. She, not only was she his political advisor and an amazing queen consort, She also traveled with her husband. She gave
her I was about to correct you. I was like, she'll get there.
Consort. She traveled with her husband to many battles, and she was renowned for showing compassion, persuading him to spare the lives of the burghers of Calais, who he wanted to execute. As an example to the town he had just ransacked. So he's like,
that's so cool that she was like just this like compassionate person. Oh, I love it. I just love it.
Wait, you're about to love her even more.
Okay.
So Edward was gone in 1346 fighting the Hundred Years' War. So Philippa was the regent of England, and the Scots seized this opportunity to invade England. So this badass bitch rallied the English troops, led them on horseback into battle, won the battle, and took the Scottish king prisoner. I love her. Sorry.
So cool. I've like read something about her, but just like hearing it, oh gosh, she's so cool. Sorry. I would like to do the same. And I would be like, can you imagine how disappointed when she was like, just like her husband came back and was like, you're just back to wifely duties. And she was like, but I want to go on a horse and invade and protect and war. And he's like, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, I do this better than you do. She was,
AKA what happened to all the women when the guys came back from World War II and, like, they were just like, women, go back to doing what you're doing. And they're like, we built these freaking airplanes and we worked in these freaking factories and we did all the jobs that you weren't there to do. We're not going back.
Like, they're like, you can't build an airplane anymore. Now this dishwasher is your airplane.
We're really getting off track. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So Philippa and Edward had 14 children together. And if you remember, their children would go on to be the Lancasters and the Yorks.
Wait, 14?
Yeah, but like a lot of them died. Yeah. She outlived like 8 of her children.
Yeah.
And there was 4 sons that would go on to be the Lancasters and the Yorks who started the War of the Roses. Also 14 children. And you're out on a freaking horse leading a battle? You are a badass.
Like you either... Okay, with 14 kids, you are either postpartum, you're either postpartum or pregnant.
Yeah.
Prepartum. But I was like, wait, prepartum. That's pregnant. Okay, so you're either postpartum or pregnant.
Well, yeah. No,
like, I mean, Emily, you're technically prepartum right now.
Oh, God. Maybe not.
I was just like, if you look at prepartum, like you do postpartum, prepartum's like before I get pregnant. And that's like, anybody who's not pregnant right now is
prepartum. Well, not necessarily. Not everyone has kids. But yeah, but I was also thinking like prepartum because she was like at any chance she could always get pregnant.
Yeah, real fertile.
14 kids. Oh my God. Okay.
Fertile.
Fertile Philippa.
It's very phonetically sound. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. But you just spell fertile with like a PH.
Fertile Philippa. I love it.
Yeah. So now we are all caught up with what's going on in England. So let's talk about Alice. So Alice was born around 1348, but no one knows anything about her early life, and no one even knows who her parents were. For a long time, there's a debate between scholars that Perez was her maiden name and that she was from a good birth. However, court documents that were very recently discovered had a merchant suing Janine Perez and his wife Alice for a debt of cloth in 1360. This was the first evidence that proved that she actually was married before she met Edward III, which had been speculated and never proven. So it's most likely her husband died before she met. And if those dates were correct, then Alice would have been 12 when she married. It's a word for John, but it looks like Janine. But it's like J-A-N-Y-N. So it's like Jane. But it's supposed to be like another, like old English for John.
Okay.
Or Janine. Janine. So between 1364 and 1366, Alice arrived at court and was a lady in waiting to Philippa, the fertile. Edward's queen, you know who she is.
I was just laughing so hard because we just gave her her adjective to describe her.
Moniker.
There you go. Good.
Monomer. That's the word.
No, I think we're getting Mortimer and Moniker mixed up.
I'm just making up words now. Okay. I have an English major. I'm allowed to make up words. That's why they gave me the major. Okay. So she was a lady in waiting, which, as we've seen, is pretty common in the meet cutes of royal mistresses. So she either met the king because she became.
I was just thinking in my head because Emily used that phrase.
Meet cutes. Okay. So she either met the king because she became a demoiselle, which is a lady in waiting, or the king put her in his wife's court to cover up their affair. So that was like scholars are like arguing. No one can really ever agree on her. But I honestly believe the first thing, because like if he put her in the court specifically to like cover up their affair, how would they have met in the first place?
We have to like get them to meet, because like a king's not just going to meet a random merchant's wife. Yeah.
Also thought that like her husband was living in London and he was like well off, but also it's like no one really knows. It's just speculation. Right. So yeah. How would they have met in the first place? So the king and queen both loved Alice, and the queen thought of her as a surrogate daughter. And they loved her so much that Alice was gifted 400 gallons of Gascon wine annually.
Wait. Okay, sorry. Who liked her so much?
The queen. She didn't know about the affair.
Philippa. Yeah. Okay.
Philippa the Fertile. But she didn't know that like she was screwing her husband. There was a secret. Like the whole time that before Philippa died, like they kept it a secret. It only came out after his wife died.
Okay.
And they gave her 400 gallons of wine.
Like, what do you mean? Annually.
A drink it?
Okay, but you do realize that meant she had to drink more than a gallon a day to consume it.
She'd have to drink 8 gallons a day.
No. Okay, they gave her 400. Emily, okay, just be quiet.
I was thinking weeks. I was thinking weeks, not days. Okay. Oh, my God. I'm going to be great. I'm going to get into nursing school. I know how to do math. Okay.
Emily's going to give me like 10 cc's instead of 2.
Oh, God. Don't cut all that out. I don't want like nursing
school. No, that's really funny. We're just joking.
I don't want nursing school to listen and hear that I can't do math. I don't know how many days are in a year. I was thinking of weeks. It's like 52 weeks. No, 4. Okay.
Yep.
So you have to drink a gallon. Well, I mean, but also she was like screwing a guy who was like 30 years older than her.
But also, I don't know. I feel like back then water wasn't.
No.
Wine. You drink wine, right?
There was like, there's a whole documentary on Netflix that came out like almost 10 years ago. It's called How Beer Saved the World. And it was about how when people started drinking beer, they started dying less because they had to boil the water for beer. So it was like, if you're drinking beer, you're not getting all the like duck poop and like, you know, viruses and bacteria and like amoebas that you're getting when you're drinking dirty ass duck water. And they actually did an experiment where they took pond water, and like recently they did this experiment and they did it under the microscope, and then they turned it into a beer and they looked at it and like all the bacteria was gone. I don't think they drank it, but it was like they took like dirty ass pond water, turned it into beer, and all the bacteria was gone. So it's like drinking beer and wine was actually saving people, like making people live longer.
I have a really stupid smile on my face.
Wine makes you live longer. Okay, there you go. Okay.
You heard it from us first.
Yeah, well, you heard it from the 1300s first, but us second. So Alice became the king's mistress when she was 18 and he was 55. Again, these dates are like, like no one knows when she, anything about her. She could
have been 17.
She could have been 45. Who knows? So they kept their relationship a secret from Philippa the Fertile, whose house was failing at this point, and the court. So like no one knew about the relationship. And she had 3 illegitimate children during this time. And I'm like, how does she have that? I don't.
Well, also, if she was she still Queen Philippa's like lady in waiting? Yeah. Like she was just like, oh, I guess. So she had to be married. She had to
have. She wasn't. She hid the kids. She wasn't married. She was, her husband had died before she got to court. Because there is no record of her having been married at court.
Oh my God.
And they were saying that, yeah, ladies in waiting.
Okay, so she had to have hid it, but I'm just kind of like, how did she be she like, just, I got knocked up by a random guy?
No, I think maybe she was just like making her dresses bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Or she's like, I'm going to go on a trip. I don't know. There's like no information about it, but her kids' name were John, Jane, and Joan.
Real original.
I think she had a brother named John, but like you think they'd be like Edward, Edward, and Edwina. Edwina, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I don't know how. Like, I don't know. Okay, so the dates of the births are not recorded. Some say that she was like 16, 17, and 18. Also, like Edward, the third sperm was swimming.
It like 17 jump, jump hurdles, that one.
Oh my God. That guy's sperm was like, I don't know, really fast.
They're all like, for the monarchy. Like, you know, I'm imagining them just like performing, like, you know, what is it called? What is it called when the horses do the fancy trot? I'm just imagining it, them just performing, like, just his perfectly. Sperm is
fancy trotting.
We are way off course. I am so sorry. I just got like such like a visceral image in my head of his,
oh my God.
His sperm overperforming to the point that they were performing.
Why do you guys like us? I don't know. Okay. So yeah, kids are born at some point. And nothing's really known about like where they were raised and how she kept them a secret, but presumably they were like sent to the country or something. So Philippa the Fertile died of dropsy, which is a really cute name for a really terrible thing. Basically it's really intense edema or like fluid retention.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like
I've heard dropsy like a million times, but I never knew what it was.
I saw a picture on Wikipedia. It's gross, not gross, but like if you put your finger in someone's like edema, like it like leaves a dent. So it's like, I think that's why it's like dropsy. Like if it's like, 'cause there's so much fluid. So usually underlying causes are like heart failure, kidney or liver. Like it's a symptom, not the cause, not the disease, or like deep vein thrombosis. And also I read somewhere that she had a collarbone that had been broken and not healed. What are you doing?
Oh, just seeing what dropsy was.
Oh yeah. 'Cause you could see it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Which it's like, it's really interesting. Like there's so much fluid that it looks like a jelly.
It's just so weird. 'Cause you never hear about it now, but I feel like everybody died from it. Like, back in the day.
Edema, and yeah, like they said, it was like heart failure, kidney failure, liver, deep vein thrombosis. And yeah, she had a broken collarbone that hadn't healed, probably from like being a badass in battle and then having 100 kids. But that also could have been, you know, the cause of it. And again, like the dropsy or whatever wasn't like, it was just like a symptom of something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So Edward was devastated because they really like had a very loving relationship and they were really good partners. And obviously, like, I mean, they must have had a pretty active sex life to like have 14 kids. And it was also said, I've heard different things, but I think the most common thing was that he really didn't take mistresses. He was like Alice was his only one.
Oh.
Yeah, I've heard that he did, but also I think he was like pretty famous for being like pretty loyal to his wife. And they actually like they were married really, really young. They were both like 16. And I think that they actually like were really in love.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaned really heavily on Alice for support. She was 21 years old. And yeah, after this, it said he didn't take any more mistresses. So after Philippa had died, they had no need to hide their relationship anymore, and it soon became very public and very scandalous. So Edward showered her with gifts, including land, like a lot of land, and allegedly some of Philippa's jewelry, but that's like also disputed. So Alice soon became worth £20,000, or £6 million in 2016.
Ooh.
And she... an amount that landed her the title of richest woman in England. And I read somewhere that like that later in Henry V's time, all of England was worth like £53,000. So that would give her half of like the worth of England.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. So that she was dressed in gold and called the Lady of the Sun and presented at a tournament and sat next to the king, which shocked the court because, according to etiquette, if the queen wasn't available, then the first lady or the lady of the court should have been the wife of the throne's heir,
it would have been Edward's son's wife.
Yeah. That was like the Black Prince's son. It was, I think her name was like, I had it in here and I deleted something of Ken. And then if she wasn't available, then it should have been the king's daughter, but he presented his mistress and people were not into it. So, and then Alice actually became the behind the scenes ruler from 1370 to 1376, which like, we don't think much of this now because it happened all the time and we see in like France, but at the time a mistress ruling in England was unheard of. And as we know from Agnes Sorrell, royal mistresses were not yet, or were just becoming a thing. Do you remember what year? Because it's 1370.
She was
later, right?
No, she was like right. Hold on, I gotta look this up. She was like right around the same time. Yeah, I believe she was. Yeah, she was like
born though.
Henry, 1420. 14, like 1430, 1440. She became like a royal mistress in like 1443 or something.
Okay, so I thought, yeah, so this was like,
like 100 years, 50 yeah. years. Yeah.
50 something, some amount of time. But yeah, it was like, she wasn't like the official royal mistress like it was in France, but it was like, but she was basically like ruling from behind the scenes. And it was also unheard of in England because she was in her 20s. And like she was like 22 to like 28. Can you imagine really running a kingdom when you were 22? It was like a hot mess. Oh my God. And so, yeah. And she was
like, the whole kingdom needs to take Jaeger shots.
Oh my God. I was like, yeah. That's a lot of Jaeger shots and a fireball.
I'm so sorry. No, but like people hear the word Jaeger and they just like, bleh,
bleh. Oh, I know. Jaeger was like the first alcohol I ever drank.
Me too. Someone, I feel like it's a lot of people's.
It wasn't the one I got drunk off, but like I remember like going up to our friend's cabin in high school and like someone smuggled up like a water bottle full of Jaeger to split between like 10 people, you know, in like a hot tub. And you're like, woo! I had one sip of alcohol.
Like a quarter of a shot.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm wasted. Yeah. So, yeah, no, she wasn't royal. No one even knows who her parents were or when she was born. So, like, she's there. People are like, what is happening? So, you know, Alice was seen as an ambitious and cold-hearted bitch who manipulated the king. Everyone hated her, and they accused her of seducing him to further her ambition and make him miserable. She even went down in history as ugly, but it is speculated that degrading her appearance was a tool to delegitimize her, which is like, yeah, that's accurate. So in 1375, the king was getting older and Alice was likely to lose his protection soon. So she had a secret marriage to Sir William Windsor, who was the king's lieutenant in Ireland. It was also said that he may have needed her to speak for him at court. So this relationship, while it was painted as a conniving power move by her, was actually a more symbiotic one. Mm-hmm. And I'm not convinced that he wasn't getting the better end of the deal, and we'll get to it. But so, yeah, he was 53, she was 28, and they got married, and they were married for like 9 years until he died. And around this time, the good parliament assembled and put her on trial. And here's what they said. It's just, quote, because a complaint was made to the king that some women had pursued various businesses and disputes in the king's courts by way of maintenance, bribing, and influencing the parties, which thing displeases the king forbids any women to do it, and especially Alice Perez.
was this before the king passed away or after
the king? It was before, okay. I believe, yeah. On penalty of whatever the said Alice can forfeit and of being banished from the realm. I just like, they're like everybody, but especially her.
That's my goal. That's my goal now. To be like on the top of somebody's like list like that. I just like, can you imagine? She probably had like, what, like 20 old men like constantly fretting about her. Like, I'd be like, I'm going to give them something to talk about.
I know. I actually really like her. So she got kicked out of court, came back. She was, and then like, she was able to have their son married and turned into a knight, which is really cool. Yeah, like, because they're like a legitimate son. But yeah, they were like, kicked her out. And then Edward was like, no. And she was able to come back. And because history is ruled by the patriarchy, many historians painted her as a seductress who preyed on a senile king to get riches and property. But she was incredibly intelligent, knew how to synergize, and was actually a badass business bitch, rival only to Kelly Kapoor. The business bitch.
I know. I'm laughing. That was cute. I like that. I appreciate it.
At the top of her game, she owned 56 manors, castles, and townhouses in 25 counties of England. But, so 56 of them, only 15 of them were gifted to her by the king. The rest she got on her own by being a badass.
That's amazing.
I know.
It just sounds like she was really smart and she was like, land. I got to invest in property.
Yeah.
You know how some people are like, yeah.
A business bitch. Yeah. That's what I think of her as like.
Alice Perez, the original real estate mogul.
She was. Oh my God. She was the original real estate mogul. So, and she had a lot of, like, the king, she had a lot of protection, like, from the king. But when he died, she was put on. Okay. So when he died, these historians are all like, she stole the rings off his cold, dead fingers and then ran away. But it's also like, I don't think that happened. That was just like, they just hated that she was like this really fucking powerful woman. Mm-hmm. She was so powerful. She had like owned like half of England. And it was like mostly like the king may have given her a leg up, but like.
I was like, could you imagine like be like, if she's to parliament, like, do you gentlemen want to convict me? Because if you do, then I will not provide this court with. I will not let my county provide this court with any more beer or cheese or blah, blah, blah. Like,
I own this courthouse. Right. She's like, fine.
You can't convict me, but outside the courthouse.
She's like, I own the jail.
Oh, that's funny.
She's like, champagne for everyone. Okay. When the king died, so she was put on trial by 9-year-old King Richard II.
Oh, that's reasonable.
Right. Tara, like, you have to put this guy on trial, this lady on trial. And he's like, okay, I'm 9. I don't know what I'm doing.
So like, basically, you get lots of sweetbreads if you put her on trial.
What's sweetbread? That sounds good. Okay, but not putting people on trial. So for impeding state business, basically, like, for interrupting with, like, state affairs, which is, like, she was, like, governing your freaking country for 6 years, you dill holes.
Right.
But So she was found guilty, exiled, and then lost all her lands. But her husband, Windsor, came to her defense and said, oh, we've been secretly married, and, like, you guys tried her as an independent woman, and she isn't. We're married. So they released her into his custody, and her lands were granted to her husband. So let me ask you again, who got the better end of this deal?
Her stupid husband. But at least, you know what? At least he came to her rescue.
Well, so when he died in 1384, you would think he would have left her lands to her.
Oh, did he leave it to his son?
His nephew. His stupid nephew.
That's so unfair.
Right? I'm like, yeah. So they like pay, they're like, oh, Alice, like, you know, people are like, oh, she connived this man into marrying her. It's like, I don't think so.
He definitely, like, if anything, it was the other way around.
Stupid Windsor. So she went into a legal fight with the nephew that lasted past her life. And when she died in 1400 or 1401, her daughters Jane and Joan took up the legal battle. And I don't know how the legal battle ended. I wish I did. But I just think it's really cool her daughters, like, took it up.
Right.
So Jane and Joan. John. Right. Yeah. So just as little attention was paid to her birth, little attention was also paid to her death. And it is speculated that she basically stopped being interesting to anyone. And when she lost the power of her lands and her influence over the court, they were kind of like, eh. While Alice may not be at the tip of our tongues when we think about history today, we might know her as another name. The wife of Bath and Geoffrey Chaucer.
That's how I know her.
Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
Yes. Chaucer. That's how I know her. The wife of Bath was based on her.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not
proven.
It's thought by historians that she was the inspiration and that she had a very heavy influence on Chaucer, which I think is really cool.
Oh my gosh. I remember the wife of Bath, like, Chaucer's wife of Bath is like she was my favorite. I like loved her.
I can't remember. It's been so long.
She's just like really kind of greedy and conniving.
It's been such a long time since I took that class.
She's quite vulgar.
I played a lot of beer pong around the time I took that class. Yeah, I do remember. I have to reread it because I remember I really like the Canterbury Tales. Okay. Now we get into my rant. Alice is either painted as a seductress harlot who took advantage of an ailing and senile king and used her feminine wiles to climb her way from low birth to an incredibly rich and powerful landlady, or as a naive young girl who was seduced at a very young age by a king. And the perfect king, Ian Mortimer, states, quote, "No one, contemporary or historically, has a good word to say about Alice. She may have been the most self-seeking and corrupt person in Edward's court, but that does not mean that we should at least try to understand her situation. She had met the king when relatively young and perhaps a little naive. Certainly, she would have been powerless at preventing his advances towards her when she was serving Philippa the Fertile. After Alice gave birth, she was forever closely linked to Edward, and after Philippa's death, she was apparently his sole bedmate. In short, he needed her, and who was she to deny him the king? She must have felt enormously flattered and privileged to have been raised up as the king's recognized companions above the wives of knights, barons, and earls," end quote. But again, I ask you, why does she have to be either or? Why can't she be both? Why do we have to paint women or anyone identifying as a woman, especially in the past, as unilateral? Why do we have to be either the Madonna or the whore? Why can't you be both? Why couldn't Alice have been both a young girl taken advantage of by the king when she was only 16 years old and also someone who
turned around her advantage?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Used her circumstances to become incredibly powerful, intelligent, and knew how to network. She also could have been reaping the benefits of his power, but like, why the hell not?
Right? Because it's not like she really could have done anything else.
But yeah.
She was making the best out of a bad situation, honestly.
Yeah, she was put in a terrible position. She was like 16. He was 55. He was a freaking king. She had 3 illegitimate children, secretively. Like, how do you hide that? I don't even know how she had that.
Right?
Like, bitch was smart. And she was hated by the entire country. She's gone down in history as a vindictive bitch. So let's do Alice the favor of viewing her as a multifaceted. Let's normalize the idea that you can be both naive and vindictive, Madonna and whore, harlot and devoted partner. And rant.
That was really good. Wow, that's so interesting.
I haven't worked a rant into my episodes in a while.
Your rants are the best.
I felt like I needed one.
Yeah, we all needed an Emily rant.
Oh my God, I'm up here on my soapbox. I really need to be after this week. So real quick, my sources were Wikipedia, creativehistorian.co.uk. I don't know. That's the website. Queens of England podcast, and then excerpts from articles by W.M. Ornrod.
Wow, that was really good. That was awesome. So interesting. Good.
Thank you. Yeah, I got really excited. Especially, she was like on my list and I kind of forgot about her because I was like trying to find another thing and she popped up again and I was like, oh yeah, she was really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's Alice. And yeah, you know me, you know, I love the Madonna horror trope and, I love to hate it. I love talking about it. Mm-hmm. I love bitching about it.
Random. Well, it's honestly like a really complex theory that affects almost I honestly think it affects all women, anyone who identifies as a woman. I think
because it's like if you are embodying both the Madonna and the whore, a lot of times it's when you fall into the tease. And it's like, why can't you be both? Like, you can be a little bit Madonna and a little bit whore, but like no one is so unifaceted that they are like at one thing and another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people aren't all quote unquote good or all quote unquote bad. They're not. It's not like
all black just and saying, white. Yeah, exactly. Live in the gray zone.
Well, there are some people whose names I won't mention, but they rhyme with rump, who are all bad. But but yeah, I mean, there are people that are. I'm not saying, you know. Yeah, okay. We can get. This is a whole different thing. But yes, Madonna whore. It's stupid. You could be both. People are multifaceted.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Love okay. that.
Love that journey for her.
I don't know about you, but I just want to end our show on a good note. You know what? We'll do our happy harlots another time.
Oh, that wasn't. We don't. I thought happy harlots were a good note.
They are.
Okay.
Let's just end it. I don't know. I don't feel like I would be able to sum it up that right now.
I know. I don't know about happy harlots. This has been a hard week, guys. We're sure you're going through it too, but
I share my bed with three small humans almost every night.
I was like, guy, I know that like being a pet parent is not the same, but
in many ways it is.
Me and all my animals live and my partner live. Well, we don't have a one bedroom, but we all sleep in the same room and they all like to get up at three AM and chase each other loudly. Very loudly. So yeah, I also didn't sleep last night because my children were running around the house going meow. So yeah, it's the same. It's not the same. Anyway, yeah, we're tired. We love you guys. Madonna so much. Horror, stupid.
Right, and you will catch us next week. I'm doing something pretty fun. It involves multiple women.
Ooh, we love that.
Right. So like smash them all in there.
Like a can of sardines. Okay. Be a harlot, not a hater.
Have a good week.
Bye. Hi, harlots. We just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to Harlots of History.
If you like what you heard today, please go and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so we can keep bringing you more salacious, scandalous harlots.
Our music is Nia Praxis, Frank Riddick by Lloyd Rogers from freemusicarchive.com. And our cover art and editing is by us.
Woohoo! We love suggestions, tips, tricks, or just salacious details you think are interesting. So please reach out to us on Instagram at Harlots of History Podcast or on Twitter at History Harlots or email us at harlotsofhistorypodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And remember, be a harlot,
not a hater.
Bye.